At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, November 18th, 2019. The Beat in the Book podcast is Gil Alexander. Guessing Lines, week 12 in the National Football League. A tribute to the old Stardust show with Roxy Roxborough. Chris Andrews to join us. Chrissy, on his way to L.A. today, but kind enough to join us as we look for value in the upcoming weekend's NFL lines. Play along with us. It's interactive. It's the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Sling Game Plus. On down the line with a very hurt, playing hurt, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm alive.
Keep talking. You sound like a frog.
No, well, Brady Cannon sounded like this over the weekend. Mitch was fighting this morning. It's all on CeeLo's now. I'm blaming him.
Oh, cry me.
It's all on him.
Cry me a river, all of you. All of you with your sicknesses. Let's do a little guessing lines today. Let's get everybody healthy with this. Week 11 in the rear, week 12 coming up. As always, we bring in the star of the show, the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook Director. It's Chrissy Andrews. Good morning to you, Chris.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in studio with all you sick people. I got to tell you that.
Hey, don't blame me. I'm the only one who's apparently healthy, you know, besides the leg problem. It's a petri dish in here, for goodness sake. So Jeff is going to try to do Market Watch this afternoon. Let me ask you this. Well, as always, I start the show by asking how you did. But specifically, can we get an answer about that late San Francisco 49ers touchdown? How did that affect you?
Well, believe it or not, the touchdown itself, it hurt us a little, not much though. I mean, it was a couple thousand dollars, not terrible. It would have been better if they didn't get it, but it wasn't that painful. However, if they were to kick the extra point, like they had to up until this year, that would have been a significant difference. I could tell you that 11 was so much better than 10. Well into six figures by not kicking that extra point it cost us.
Yeah, that was the Minnesota miracle rule change where you don't have to bring out the whole team just to kick an extra point that's meaningless. You know, the interesting thing about that, though, is both from your perspective, obviously, bettors were affected by that. For those who don't know, we're talking about late touchdown in the Niners-Cardinals game. Parlay is shaking his head in dismay, but it made a four-point game get to a 10-point game and review. If there was a legit, you know, deliberate review like we have in the NFL, chances are it would have been overturned. And I'm curious how you feel, because certainly, and I had no skin in that game in the end, but for bettors, obviously, that was a huge decision. And the fact that we still don't treat every play, even post-legalization, with the scrutiny it deserves. And I get it, the game's over. But, man, people are betting on this stuff, Grizzy.
Yeah, I mean, why are – how can that not be reviewed? I mean, I just don't know. You know, I really don't. Yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be every touchdown is reviewed automatically, period. Yeah. Every touchdown. This one was not.
I guess
a lot of people were affected by it, including yours truly. So I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, maybe that's one more way that they're going to try to weasel an integrity fee out of it. I don't know. they should have integrity without it.
I was going to say, that should be a reverse integrity fee on that. So in the end, you did not have a good weekend, or you were okay? What ended up working out for you?
No, we had a terrible weekend.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Saturday was bad. Sunday was even worse. So it was just
we need to
charge good tonight. Well, I always don't cry for the bookmaker. We've been having a hell of a year. You know, I watched the figures pretty closely. We were pretty well ahead of last year, which was also a good year. And now we're after this weekend. I haven't seen the final count them out. But I'm thinking we'll be probably pretty close to last year at the same point year to date.
And you said who you need tonight? Chargers you need tonight? Of course, I would imagine.
We need pretty good.
Yeah, because that line is up to 5 now in favor of the Chiefs in Mexico City at Estadio Azteca. And people should know, for those who are like, they'll get it back next week, they'll get back. We have had a couple recent seasons. No guarantee that this will happen, right? But from the book's perspective, we've had a couple seasons recently where in pro football – bettors like starting late October, November, December. Remember, there's a couple seasons in here recently where bettors just had this huge streak. Now, you got it back in other sports, but in pro football, we've had these stretches. Not to say that this will happen, but it's possible. Let's put it that way.
Well, there's no guarantees. Everybody always said, well, you'll get it back. You'll do, you know, it says who? You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if you look, you know, if you had like a 10-year moving average, yeah, sure. But that doesn't mean this week we'll get it back or the, you know, there's what, 6 weeks left in the year. You know, I don't know where we're going to be. You know, I mean, like I said, there's no guarantees, but, you know, in 10 years, you'll look back and it'll be okay. But I don't know about the next 6 weeks. I really don't know.
6 weeks left in the season. We are headed into week 12. For those who are just landing on this show for the first time, here's how this works. We, basically, I guess a week 12 line, Chrissy will give me the matchup. I'll talk it through. I'll come up with a guess. He'll tell me what he'll put up here at the South Point right after the show. In that process, we hope to extract value, at least a first sort of salvo at Week 12 NFL lines. And in the process, we'll talk about what happened yesterday. Shall we start with Thursday night, Chris?
Yeah, we got a pretty good one. The Colts at Houston.
By the way, what was the game or games that beat you the most yesterday?
Oh, God, probably the New England game was the worst. You know, I was talking to Jimmy after the, you know, kind of before the dust even settled last night. I mean, we didn't have any good, you know, probably our best game was Baltimore beating Houston. You know, the Raider game was like okay, but we just had so much live stuff going into that game. You know, even though we knocked down the parlays, point spread parlays, money line parlays, and teasers got there with Oakland.
Yeah.
Probably the only really good game was Houston Baltimore. Probably the worst game, I'd have to go through and look a little bit more closely.
All right,
but probably New England and Philly was the worst.
You said Indy at Houston for Thursday night?
That's a Thursday night game, Indy at Houston.
All right, Indy reclaims a share of the AFC South last night when Houston lost to Baltimore. So Indy and Houston tied atop the division at 6-4. Indianapolis coming off a win yesterday. Pretty handy win, as it turns out. Indianapolis winning their game against Jacksonville 33-13, covering the 2.5-point spread quite easily in that one. Jacoby Brissett, 15-24, 148, one touchdown, one pick, sacked 3 times after missing last week's game with a bad left knee. And then a 2-pronged running attack, as it turned out. Jonathan Williams, 13 carries for 116 yards, twice gave himself up after long fourth-quarter runs, by the way, to keep the clock moving. And Marlon Mack, 14 for 109, a touchdown, but he is out indefinitely with a fracture in his hand. Indy rushing for a season-high 264 yards. Wow. in that game yesterday against Jacksonville. And then there's Houston, as you alluded to, crushed by Baltimore. It was supposed to be the biggest game of the weekend. And Houston came in with 4 wins in 5 games before the bye last week. They fell behind Baltimore 34-0. Yes, there was a PI in the end zone that probably should have been called. Not probably, should have been, but 34-0. First half, only 102 yards of offense for Houston. They yielded 4 sacks, fell behind 14-0 early. Deshaun, 18-29, 169. No touchdowns, 1 pick, sacked 6 times. 6 times, 12 yards rushing on 3 carries, lost a fumble. Houston was 2 of 10 on third down, 1 of 4 on fourth down. They were outgained by Baltimore, 491 to 232. Out time of possession, if you will, 36-19 to 23-41. Sacked 7 times entirely. A.J. McCarron came in, got sacked additionally. Houston minus 5.5. We'll put it in no man's land.
Wow. No, you're a little high on this. I see 3.5 and 4. Probably a little bit more 4. You pretty evenly split, though. I got to tell you, I like the 3.5. I don't want to go too much on yesterday's results. But I do, you know, Gil, just the more I watch football, I'm still convinced that football success begins at the offensive line. And the Colts have really, you know, finally, after they ruined Andrew Luck's career, finally they got a good offensive line. And, you know, as evidenced by, what'd you say, 268 yards rushing?
264, yeah.
264. Okay, they did allow a couple sacks, though. But, you know, that some of that might be on Brissett a little bit. But terrific offensive line. Like I said, I don't want to play yesterday's results too much, but I think this is a team with such a fantastic offensive line that football begins right there. And, you know, Houston, boy, I don't know. You know, I'm in a couple contests. I had Baltimore in all my contests. Really liked them quite a bit yesterday. And, yeah, I'm sure we'll get to Baltimore a little bit later. But right now, I'm going to go with the 3.5 because I think I'm not sure how well Houston's going to protect their quarterback, and I think Indianapolis will protect their quarterback and run the football very effectively against this team.
I mean, it's a game for the AFC South lead, and would any outcome here surprise you whatsoever? I mean, barring a ridiculous blowout on either side, but really, it's one of these games. It's a typical NFL game. I could see anything happening, anything, in an already squirrely division.
I think Frank Reich, too, is finally, you know, kind of coming into his own as a coach. You know, I think when you look at Carson Wentz, and again, I'm sure we'll talk about Philly, too, but he was helped tremendously, you know, by Frank Reich. And now that he doesn't have him, and I think Jacoby Brissett right now is being helped quite a bit, too, by Frank Reich. So, anyway, all that added up. I like 3.5 and 4. But I like 3.5 better. That's what I'm going to open.
I'll steer clear of our Andrew Luck, not much of a drop-off to Jacoby Brissett debate, Chris. I won't get into that. We'll leave that for the back burner. Well, let's start with the Sunday morning game. What do you got Sunday morning?
Miami at Cleveland.
Okay, so now here's the thing with this. I know what my guess would be, but based on the history of the last few weeks, I know that I'll be way short. So I'm going to give what I think it should be and what I think it will be. How about that? Miami yesterday loses to the Buffalo Bills pretty handily, 37-20. Miami played with them for a while. They were in tease position for much of the game, but never in cover position. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 32 of 45, 323. No touchdowns, no picks, sacked 7 times. Devontae Parker, 7 catches, 135. But only 23 yards rushing. For the Dolphins. That was a big theme in the NFL yesterday. There was a bunch of teams that had just anemic rushing totals. Dolphins led the way, 23 rushing yards. And there's Cleveland, of course, with extra rest coming off the Thursday Myles Garrett game. Baker Mayfield was 17 of 32 against the Steelers for 193, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Odell Beckham Jr., 4 for 60, but he was targeted 10 times. But the Browns, as we talked about on Friday, 8 penalties, 121 yards. No Myles Garrett for the rest of the season. Now, so based on the historic way off guess I had in the Pittsburgh-Miami game a few weeks back, I would say if I were guessing here, if it was just, if I didn't know about that happening, I would say here Cleveland minus 7.5. But because I know about that, I know it's going to be higher. So I'll say Cleveland minus 10.
Yeah, even there, you're a little bit low. It's 10 and a half mostly. I see 111. And I would just say, I like your number a lot better.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Cleveland 10 and a half over anybody.
I don't get it. I don't know.
Kind of what you said about Miami was right. They certainly did not play well yesterday, but they played hard. And we're on this offensive line thing from the last game. We'd say Miami had 23 yards rushing. They allowed 7 sacks. Those are not good signs. But are the Browns the kind of team that could capitalize on that? I don't know. I mean, they certainly run the ball pretty well themselves. They protected Mayfield pretty good as far as their own offensive line. But I don't know. I think 10 and a half sounds way, way too high. I'm going to open 10. I'm sure they'll give me a bet at the minus 10. But I really, if we were in a vacuum, I'd like your number better. I really do. I think where does Cleveland get off being double digits over anyway?
Where do they get off, Chrissy? Where do they get off? I agree. I don't understand. All right, let's do one more. Let's plow through these on Sunday morning.
A little bit of a defensive battle here. Denver at Buffalo.
Well, Denver comported themselves well yesterday. They have a couple of distinctions here. One, they're the first team since 2014 now to not score a fourth quarter touchdown in 6 straight games. So congratulations to you Broncos on that. But more to the point, the Vikings erased a 20-0 halftime deficit yesterday against the Broncos. Broncos were up 20-0 at the half. Vikings did it with touchdowns on each of their first 4 drives in the second half. They forced 3 straight incomplete passes in the end zone over the final 10 seconds to preserve a 27-23 victory yesterday against the Broncos. What were the Vikings doing calling that timeout? Like Mike Zimmer's like, I'll let you guys organize. I'll call a timeout here while the clock was going down. Broncos had no way of stopping it. So the Broncos ended up with 3 shots at it yesterday in the final 10 seconds. And the Vikings get away with it. Great comeback, no question. First time in 5 years. That's a span of 100 games, including the playoffs, that an NFL team won after trailing by 20 or more points at halftime. Again, congratulations, Denver Broncos. Though, if you recall, of course, and this it sort of brings to mind, just sort of parenthetical aside here, how amazing that New England-Atlanta Super Bowl was, right? Super Bowl 51, 18-point deficit, then it later got to 28-3, and New England came back and won that game. Like, that's how big of a historical outlier that Super Bowl was. According to Sport Radar, only the 14th time in NFL history that a 20-plus point halftime lead turned into a loss. Brandon Allen, 17 of 39 for 240, 1 touchdown, 1 pick, was sacked 2 times. Cortland Sutton, 5 catches, 113. The Broncos were 5 of 18 on third down. 18 third down opportunities. They were also 4 of 4 on fourth down. When I say they matriculate the ball down the field, I mean they matriculate. Like, it is really slow, but they got it down there at the end. They had the ball 36 minutes and 43 seconds. Didn't matter in the end. Kirk Cousins crushed them. 29 of 35 for Cousins against the Broncos. They did hold Minnesota to 37 rushing yards. They can hang their hat on that. Again, very low rushing total. They're at Buffalo. Buffalo beats Miami, as we talked about. Best 10-game record for the Bills. Bills are 7-3. It's their best 10-game record since 1999. They're trying to make the playoffs for only the second time in 20 years. But going into yesterday, collective record of their opponents, 12-44. And then they beat the Dolphins yesterday, who were 2-8. So they haven't beaten anybody. They did get 7 sacks, we mentioned, allowed only 23 yards rushing. Josh Allen, in the never-ending stream of quarterback Allens, 21 of 33 for 256, 3 touchdowns, no picks, ran for another score. His passer rating of 117.7, a career high. His streak of passes without a pick to 163. I'll say Buffalo minus 4.5.
Boy, you're right on. I see it 5 and as high as 5.5. I'm opening 5.5 on this game. Josh Allen, and I got to watch that game because, we needed Miami pretty good yesterday. So I watched that game quite a bit. I got to tell you, he looked really, really good. probably as good as I've seen him play in his NFL career. His QBR was 92.2, and I got to tell you, he deserved that. He was fantastic. Kind of said it before, Buffalo has been crushing bad teams, and I got to put Denver in the bad team category.
Right? Oh, yeah, for sure.
So right now, put a mark next to Buffalo for me. I think this is just right in their wheelhouse, and I think they beat a bad Denver team. I think they beat them up pretty good. So I like 5.5. Tell you the truth, again, if I was in a vacuum, I would open this game 6 or higher. And the only reason I'd only open it 6 is I'm looking at the totals, about 36.5, 37. So expect a really low-scoring game. You always have a problem with the possibility of weather in Buffalo at this time of year. But I like this as high as can be. And 5.5 is a high watermark. That's what I'm going to open. And I see it as low as 4.5, mostly 4.5. But I like the higher number for sure.
All right. That's the thing about this show. Chrissy tells you exactly how he's going to open here at the South Point, 5.5. 424 total yards for the Bills, season high for them. And at one point when they were up 16-0, they had a 211-24-yard advantage against Miami. So they came out smoking in that ball game. It's coming back on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Patient X has entered the studio. Los in his corner. His response to the accusation, not even Patient X, ladies and gentlemen. We've isolated him. Hopefully everybody can get better now. Parlay, you blame Carlos for this?
100%.
100%. All right, let's remove him from this equation. All right, let's get some more lines. Week 12 again. This is a tribute to the old Stardust radio show, trying to extract value in the coming week's lines. Boy, in-game yesterday, last night, was an under-in-game fest. We'll get to that coming up, of course. But let's continue where we left off with Chris Andrews. By the way, you can follow Chrissy on Twitter at Andrews Sports. He, of course, the author of the book, Then One Day, available everywhere books are sold, Chris?
Well, it's available on Amazon, okay. Available in the South Point gift shop.
What?
So if you get one there, bring it over and I'll sign it for you.
Wait a minute. When did this happen?
Friday. Fine.
Nice job. Well
done. Some things you just, I'm shaking my head while I'm talking to you. I don't know why it took so long, but it did. But it's there now. I can tell you that.
Better late than never. All right. What's next?
Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
That's nice. You could just go over to the gift shop, buy a book, then traipse on over, you know, what was that, a 2-minute walk? Not even 90 seconds over to the sports book. Hey, can Chrissy sign this for me? He'll just come out and sign it for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. What was the game again? I'm sorry. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Is that what you said?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's a barn burner. Pittsburgh's 5-5. They come off the extra rest against Cleveland, as we talked about. Mason Rudolph, who was 23 of 44 in that game against Cleveland for 221, but he had one touchdown and 4 picks. Was sacked 4 times. Pittsburgh was 2 of 11 on third down. They were 0 of 3 on fourth down. They had 4 turnovers for a turnover difference of -4 in that game. And then there's the Bengals, who yesterday gave it a run against the Raiders. I thought for a moment they had a shot, not to be. They're 0-10. They now match the 1993 Bengals for the worst start in franchise history. Ryan Finley, 13 of 31 yesterday for a whopping 115 yards. Sacked 5 times, 4 times by Max Crosby, 246 total yards of offense. I'll say Pittsburgh -4.5 on the road here.
Yeah, you're a little light. It's 6.5.
6.5. Wow.
Yeah, I see a couple of sixes with juice on the favorite, but I'm going to open 6.5. You know, we've been talking about offensive lines a lot this morning. You know, I love the Steelers' offensive line. I used to anyway. But their offensive line has not played well this year, and I'm not sure why. And, you know, Mason Rudolph, you talked about him, he got sacked 4 times for 43 yards. Now, I'm sure part of that is they have no Le'Veon Bell, but they didn't have him last year either. James Conner's been hurt, and I think Mason Rudolph is, not very nimble in the pocket, and not that you have to have a lot of speed, because I think you look back at Roethlisberger, certainly not a fast guy by any means, but kind of nimble in the pocket. Mason Rudolph doesn't have that. So all that kind of plays together. But make no mistake about it, their offensive line has not played well. But it's still Cincinnati. Man, they they showed a little heart yesterday, but man, that is just a horrible, horrible football team. So I'm going to open 6.5. I have no beef with that. We'll see. I mean, can the Steelers get back in the playoff race? They actually can. You know, they probably, you know, they should win this game. They'll be, you know, money line, what, about a 260 favorite, something like that, maybe a little higher. But, yeah, just fortunately, they're playing Cincinnati, coming off a long rest, and this probably is in their wheelhouse. But, you know, I wouldn't lay too much on Pittsburgh. I really wouldn't.
Yeah,
I mean, Rudolph does not look like the answer. It looks like he'll be one of those serviceable-type quarterbacks for his career, but not somebody you could build a franchise around, certainly.
By actual standings, currently, with 6 weeks left of the NFL season, some teams obviously on bye, others not, Pittsburgh, along with the Titans, both at 5-5, just one game out of the sixth and final playoff spot, which is either Houston or Oakland. Houston would have the tiebreaker right now. Those teams at 6-4. So not out of the realm of possibility, I guess, but we're being kind. And this proves one thing. I mean, I am consistent, if nothing. I am always underrating Pittsburgh in the market. So 6.5, my guess was 4.5. You're 6.5, you said, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah. The Giants at Chicago.
God, is it me or some of these games terrible?
I'll tell you what.
Jeez.
There's a big disparity. You know, I guess if we run down the list, there's only a couple of really good teams in this league. There really is. You know,
yeah.
Just a few.
Yo, you're right. You're absolutely right. But this, boy, some of these matchups are terrible. Giants coming off a bye. They're 2-8 against the Chicago Bears. 4-6 now. After last night, the Bears lose to the Rams. For those who missed this game last night, oh, what a barn burner it was. Rams beat the Bears 17-7. For those of us who had unders pre-flop and then undered in game, it was a financial boon. And at the end of the game, I mean, there's not much to say. Trubisky, 24 of 43 for 190 in this game. One touchdown, one pick. He was sacked once. He was benched at the end of this game. So when the Bears were down 10. Matt Nagy makes the decision, we believe, to go to Chase Daniel. Now, we saw Matt Nagy talking to Mitchell Trubisky for about 60 seconds in his ear, presumably to let him down easy, just give him a talk. But then the Bears' Twitter says, nope, it was a hip. And after the game, Trubisky said this, quote, I was just all arm in the second half pretty much. Just trying to fight through the pain, trying to make the throws. I still felt like I was still putting the ball in some pretty good spots. Just couldn't move around or couldn't buy time. So depending on what you believe, go with that. Bears ran 22 more plays than the Rams, but averaged only 3.6 yards per play. Again, they lose. That said, it's the Giants, and I'll say Bears minus 6.
It's 6.5. Oh, boy, this is a tough one for me.
Who wants to lay that, though? Jeez.
Yeah, I'm not sure I don't like your number better here, Gil, but I see some higher numbers. I'm not sure what the, you know, sometimes I see some of these numbers. I'm not sure they're actually open or they're just kind of putting stuff in their computer. You know, I'm going to probably open 6.5, but if I see it trending lower, I'm going to go lower. You know, Patrick Covers came by last night to do a little spot. And one of, you know, usually on these primetime games, we get a lot of overplay. And he was asking me, oh, they bet you the over? No.
No.
And I said it on the thing. I said, I don't know where points are going to come from in this game. I really don't. And, of course, the Giants or the Bears didn't produce, you know, but 7 points. And the Rams weren't a whole lot better. But, you know, again, I see this. I'm not sure where points are going to come from in this game, too. Total's 40.5 and 41. So probably a little higher than I expected it to be. But, boy, you'd have a tough time laying points here. I am going to open 6.5 just because I see a couple spots where it's a little higher. But if I see it going lower, I'm going to open lower.
Do we have that Bears tweet, Jeff? About Trubisky yesterday, because that's one of the things for they're going with the hip.
You don't
injury.
Have you?
They're going with the hip injury here, and you know, I don't know that Matt Nagy talks to him for 60 seconds about a hip injury in his ear. So it seemed to me to be a benching, albeit either disguised or honestly refuted by the Bears. Here's Adam Rank. Benching Trubisky at this point is like a restaurant comping your meal after you get food poisoning. It's too late. I'm already sick. Referring to the Bears' late benching of Mitch Trubisky in that ballgame. We'll get to the Rams side of things because the Rams tried something completely different last night, which Chris Collinsworth did a wonderful job of pointing out. They were all run or just majority run last night. A reemergence of Todd Gurley, so a whole different game plan there. I said Chicago minus six. Chrissy likes my number better, but you're opening it at what, Chris?
I'm going to open 6.5 just because I see it higher, but if I see it trending lower in any way, I'm going to go lower.
Okay, let's do one more.
Oakland at the Jets.
Jeez. People going to watch these games? If there was no betting, would people watch these games? Heidi game rematch.
Not a chance.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Oakland 6-4. I mean, if you, again, 10 weeks ago, if you whisper in my ear, he's like, hey, Oakland's going to be 6-4, I would have just laughed at you. But 6-4 they are. The Jets beat the Redskins yesterday. First of all, Oakland, as we talked about, beat the Bengals. It's their third straight win, all at home after a seven-week stretch on the road. So they're in a first-place tie. Kansas City plays tonight, so it's a temporary tie. But Kansas City plays the Chargers tonight. But right now, the Oakland Raiders are in a first-place tie in the AFC West. Imagine that. Derek Carr, 25 of 29 yesterday for 292. Is that good? One touchdown, one pick, sacked three times. Josh Jacobs, 23 for 112. It's his fourth 100-yard game in the last 6 weeks. Raiders were 7 of 15 on third downs. As I said, Max Crosby, rookie record for the Raiders with four sacks. But it was against the Bengals. Jets, can you explain to me, Chrissy, what that Redskins money was yesterday morning? It just makes no sense to me. Poker Group, the Poker Group is being sort of identified as the majority of this Redskin money that moved the line. Poker Group, maybe a little more poker, a little less Redskin betting. Take it from a Redskin fan lifelong. Stop that. Sam Darnold, 19 of 30, 293, four touchdowns, one pick, sacked twice. Ryan Griffin was his favorite target. 5 for 109 and a touchdown. The Jets, Jeff, your Jets, eclipse 400 yards of offense for the first time in 20 games.
All I know is my Sam Darnold over touchdown prop again is off of life support.
In play.
And somewhat in play, miraculously enough.
What was the number before the season?
I need 11 more. I need two touchdowns a game. It's not dead yet.
I believe your comment before the season was, how can this not win?
Well, I didn't have mononucleosis on the landscape, right. Gil.
It's a kissing problem is what it is. Oakland minus 4.5, I guess, Chris.
Yeah, we're lower than that. I'm looking at 3 or 3.5. Huh. The 3.5s have gotten taken, and I could see a lot of juice on the dog for anybody using 3.5. Juice on the favorite at the 3. You know, this is, you know, we get, you know, and listen, it's worked out for us in the long run. But we use everything at 11 to 10 here at the South Point. And I think that's right. But there are certain games where we definitely have to sweat the 3. This is going to be one of them. I'm going to open 3 just because that's the solid number. You know, that's if it comes 3 and you were 3 all week, it's just a push. But if you're back and forth a lot between the 3 and 3.5, which I have a feeling we will be, then, of course, we're tremendously exposed to the 3. So I will open 3. If they bet me up, they bet me up, and then we'll go to the 3.5. But I'm going to open 3 just because I really hate some of these games that are just kind of come like this. But, you know, boy, the Jets, they look good, but, man, they played a very bad opponent, and I'm sure we'll talk about Washington a little bit later. You know, Oakland, I don't want to rush to any judgment because really Derek Carr, I thought, played very well. And he's been pretty good the last couple of weeks. You know, Mike Tomlin, I think, is probably the leader right now for coach of the year. But I think Gruden has to be right there. He's done a terrific job with this team.
He does.
And, yeah, but, I mean, I think it's a pretty good game. You know, I'm not sure who'd be watching it without a bet. I don't know. But I think it's going to be a pretty competitive game. Somewhat of a high total, 46.5, 47. So, but I'm going to open 3. They'll probably bet me up, and when they do, they do. So, an open 3 right now.
Chris Felica, lifelong Jets fan, texting in. They have the Bengals and Dolphins still. It's alive. Jets. That's a reference to their season win total. It's also Jeff's touchdown prop is what he's talking about specifically, that Sam Darnold could get there. So, there's something to be excited about. We'll come back. We'll get some more of these games. Hopefully the matchups improve. My goodness. Week 12 in the National Football League where the haves and the have-nots, the chasm widens as the cream of the crop shows itself. We'll come back. It's Chris Andrews right here. Guessing Lines on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Let me just review the matchups. Let me get back to my comment before where I said if people weren't betting on this stuff, who would be watching this? So let's take the Thursday night game out because the Thursday night game is good. It's for the AFC South lead between the Colts and the Texans. But here are the matchups we've gone through so far on this show. And I'm hoping, by the way, that because we've used all these teams, that we have some good matchups coming up. But here are the ones we've gone through already on Sunday. Denver at Buffalo, the Giants at the Bears, the Steelers at the Bengals, the Dolphins at the Browns, Oakland at the Jets. Good God. That is, seriously, if no one was betting, you'd watch this, Jeff? If there was no such thing as betting.
Yes.
Oh,
stop. But I'm a crazy person.
What's wrong with you?
I will tell you, the Giants and Bears game might be... You and I were talking about it before, and then when you told me your guess, and what was my first word after that?
Well, I can't remember. What was it?
I said that's gross that the Bears
would
be almost a touchdown favorite
that's
against
right.
anybody.
You did say that is gross. It's so true. Like I said, there are opportunities. There are betting opportunities everywhere. They abound. This is why we watch, right? So it doesn't have to be a good matchup. We're making money. We don't care if that's the case. But just let's say you were not allowed to make a bet. No pre-flop, no in-game. I'm like, Jeff, let me just pick one. You are required to watch the Giants and the Bears next week for 60 minutes. Enjoy.
There might be comedy in that game. That could be fun.
You understand, my first love is the National Football League. It pains me to say this about these games, but good Lord. Okay, well, I assume these matchups have to get better. Let's bring Chris Andrews back from the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook perch that he's at. Where are you headed to L.A. today, Chris?
Yeah, I am. I got some tests in the morning, but expect everything to be okay. We'll find out, though. That's why they test me. Mm-hmm. By the way,
yes.
First of all, it does get better. Good. Secondly, you know what the highest handles yesterday was?
Please, tell me.
The Jets and the Redskins.
Okay.
We had a huge handle on that game.
Okay, so, but it moved. You know, how was your personal handle here at the South? Obviously, it moved. There was Redskin money in the morning. Was it all Redskins money for you?
No. We got a lot of Redskin money early, but we had a lot of Jet money coming back the other way. And, I mean, we had tons of money both ways. We really didn't need much of anything on that game. But they bet the game. They bet the money line. They bet the first half. I'm not sure if they bet the second half or not. I'm not sure. But that we did a ton of business on that game. Like I always said, you lay 11 to 10, you pick a winner. Doesn't matter if it's the Patriots and Ravens or the Jets and the Redskins. I mean, it's all the same.
Well,
guys, they bet the heck out of that game yesterday.
That's why betting is a beautiful thing. But again, if there was no betting and I'm like, all right, watch this game, enjoy. The Redskins, let me just point this out because I know we're not yet at this game necessarily. But against your Jets, Jeff, the Skins allowed 34 points to the team that entered with the worst offense in the league. Continues to be dead last on third down. Redskins gave up 34 points to that outfit, as you would say, Chrissy. And now people are worried, not worried, but people are speculating that Greg Minuski, the Skins defensive coordinator, is in big trouble. They've already gotten rid of Jay Gruden. Now it's like, okay, Greg Minuski, if you let the Jets score 34, God help you, Daniel Snyder's going to come down. But the fans in D.C. yesterday chanting, sell the team. And, I mean... For God's sakes, please. It's a life sentence with Daniel Snyder. The Redskins had a streak, by the way, in quotes, 16 consecutive quarters without a touchdown before Darius Geis scored on a 45-yard screen pass early in the fourth yesterday. In that span, someone at Yahoo put this together, in that span, the Nationals won 6 playoff games, a pennant, a World Series title, and a parade. And they had a parade. Your Washington Redskins. Anyway, was that even the game we were going to talk about? We stray.
No. we got way late. Well, since we're way late, let me just throw this one out. I had a guy tweet me this morning, read my book, loved it. had a similar experience as some of the things I outlined in the book about Harris. So he had kind of a similar experience. And another guy tweeted to the two of us, "I'm currently reading the book and enjoying it. If I take nothing else away from the book, it will be that Chris Andrews hates Harris." So,
That's true.
That is a theme in the book. That's the whole chapter.
You have passed the reading comprehension portion of the book. Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Not a fan, Chris Andrews. Such a great read. All right. Well, let's do a game here. Still early games, I would imagine, on Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, this one isn't too bad. Hey, by the way, we've got some good games coming up. Carolina at New Orleans.
Carolina at New Orleans. My buddy E said this last night after the Rams-Chicago game. He said the worst thing that happened from this game is that Bears fans will not get Cam Newton now because of Kyle Allen's performance. So let me clarify that. Carolina now has lost 3 of 4. Yesterday they lose to Atlanta 29-3. We'll get to the Falcons, my goodness. But Kyle Allen yesterday, 31 of 50. For 325, but no touchdowns, 4 picks, and he was sacked 5 times. He's now thrown 9 interceptions in the past 4 games after not throwing any in his first 4 career starts. So, yeah, that happened. So will we see Cam Newton now? Because Cam Newton, it was speculated they were going to get rid of Cam Newton. They're not on the hook for him financially after this year. Might he end up in Chicago? Christian McCaffrey continues to fill up the box score, but that was about it for Carolina yesterday. 14 carries, 70 yards, 11 catches, 121. But the Panthers against the Falcons, the all of a sudden vaunted Falcons defense, 2 of 14 on third downs. They were 3 of 5 on fourth downs, but 4 turnovers, as I mentioned, all picks from Kyle Allen, -4 in turnover differential for Carolina yesterday. They were trailing 26-0 late in the game, and Ron Rivera elected to go for a field goal instead of a touchdown. Oh, I hate when they do that. I want to get points on the board. 26-3. Then there's New Orleans. Bounce back win for New Orleans. They got crushed by Atlanta the previous week, and they just went to town yesterday on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Beat the Bucs 34-17. Drew Brees got back off the schneid. 28 of 35 for 228. 3 touchdowns, no picks, wasn't sacked. Michael Thomas. 8 catches, 114 yards, a touchdown. He's the first player in league history with 90-plus catches in the first 10 games of a season. Wow. Alvin Kamara, 13 carries, 75 yards, 10 catches, 47. Saints, 7 of 13 on third down, 1 of 1 on fourth. 9 penalties, though, for 76 yards. Nonetheless, New Orleans, -7.5, I'll say.
You're light. I see from... anywhere from 8.5 is a low watermark, but juice on the favorite at 8.5. All the way up to 10. The 10 has some juice on the dog. But probably 9.5, I'd say, is the predominant number, and that's where I'm going to open it. I don't want to go too crazy, you know. But back to Josh Allen. Which Allen is that one?
No, this one's Kyle Allen. Yes.
Kyle Allen. I got him all mixed up. Kyle Allen. I mean, the kid did start off playing some pretty good football. But, you know, these defensive coordinators, well, except for maybe the guy in Washington, but they're pretty smart guys. You know, they could make their adjustments. And, you know, you as a quarterback or as an offensive coordinator or whatever, you have to make your adjustments. And he has not adjusted. Anyway, I don't want to get too high on this number. It is still a division game, decent rivalry. So I don't want to go too high, but I like the higher number at this point, which would be 9.5. Like I said, I do see 110 with decent juice on the dog. I don't want to open 10 right now, but I will. I am going to open 9.5, see where they want to go with that one.
All right, 9.5 it is. I said 7.5. I'm low. What about the NFC here, by the way? Now, I get Minnesota's played one extra game, and they're on a bye this week. But 5 teams, here we are with just 6 weeks left in the season, 5 teams in the NFC with 8 wins or more. Niners 9-1, Packers and Saints and Seahawks all 8-2, Vikings 8-3, very top heavy. So really, it's about what's the only other, you know, if you look at it, the only other position available is the NFC East winner, either Dallas or Philly, and that's the story. Everybody else has a lot of ground to make up. Rams being the closest at 6-4, we'll get to them. We'll come back. We'll continue guessing lines. Week 12, NFL. Chris Andrews right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Fall is the most exciting time of the year at BetMGM, New Jersey's ultimate online destination for fans who want to wager on football, pro and college basketball, hockey, and more. This show brought to you by the BetMGM app. And this week, tonight, BetMGM has a special offer for new customers. That's on tonight's game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. Just use bonus code VSIN100 to place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on the Chargers and win $100 if the Chargers score. Remember, no Russell Okung. First-time BetMGM bettors get 100-1 odds on the Chargers scoring tonight when they use bonus code VSIN100. It's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Turn your predictions into convictions with real money bets on parlays, boosted odds, specials, in-game live betting, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app or visit BetMGM.com today and get 100-1 odds on the Chargers scoring tonight when you use bonus code VSIN100. Got to be 21 or older. Got to be in New Jersey. Restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com. for the full list of terms and conditions. Jeff, what was that? You were reading this story about Chargers fans traveling?
Pete Gradov of the Kansas City Star tweeted out about 10 minutes ago, an ESPN producer told him that Chargers fans bought 40,000 tickets to tonight's game at Estadio Azteca against the Chiefs. I'm going to put that in the category as there is no way there will be 40,000 Charger fans there tonight.
No chance of that.
No way.
But I do feel for the people of San Diego. They loved that team, man. They loved that team. But yeah, 40,000 sounds, how can I put this, high. Game is tonight again in Mexico City, the last of the international series. There was four games in London. There is one in Mexico City tonight. Kansas City now, I'd say consensus about 4.5-point favorites against the Chargers, total at 53.5, somewhere in that pocket. Jeff, how did you feel real quick, because we have a short break here, we'll get back to guessing lines in a moment. How did you feel about the Tua Tagovailoa injury on Saturday for Bama against Mississippi State? And how did you feel specifically about the Nick Saban backlash?
You know what? I have no issue with Saban leaving him in the game. You play him a half. You don't expect the catastrophic injury to happen. It was a fluky play that knocked him out, too. It was two guys sandwiched him. He got off balance and lo and behold, the hip dislocates, and it's a terrible thing. It stinks to see that happen, but I'm not going to bash Saban for leaving him in. The plan sure as heck seemed like he was going to play a half, and that was going to be that. Just terrible timing, and you got to feel for the kid who now just can't catch a break injury-wise.
Poor kid. You feel so bad for Tua Tagovailoa. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm no Nick Saban fan. I like to say about Dabo Sweeney, I was saying this on Flatter Show yesterday on the Green Zone here on VSiN. I'm no Nick Saban fan. I used to say that Dabo Sweeney taught us we can win national championships with a smile on your face, which is my way of taking a shot at Nick Saban. And I do think Saban is a tone-deaf guy, right? So even in the first post-game interview, I believe it was Molly McGrath, he's like, well, I'd really like to talk about the kids who played in this game and, you know, were on the field. I'm just like, God, like, so tone-deaf. That said, I agree with you completely. Like, this is not his fault. And for those, listen, if you didn't think Tua should have played in the first place, that's one thing, but hopefully you saw that he was perfectly fine out there. He was throwing dimes all day against Mississippi State. If you're coming back with this sort of retroactive, oh, he shouldn't have had him in for that last drive, though, which like the Jesse Palmers of the world were saying, just stop with that. Stop it. Like, were you saying before, you know, there's nothing about that drive that caused this. It was a fluke injury. It was unrelated to his previous injuries. And sometimes stuff just happens. And just feels so bad for the kid. But stop with the Nick Saban bashing. Not his fault. We'll come back. We'll resume guessing lines. Week 12 in the National Football League. Coming up right here at VSiN.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from Bookmaker.eu. Bookmaker.eu, of course, 30 years now in the industry. A leader at that for 30 years, where pro players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, take the highest limits, and pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player ever. And their motto remains where the lines originate, because chances are your sportsbook follows their lines. Again, it caters to pro bettors and to large recreational bettors. Perhaps that describes you as well, but really bettors of all kinds. And right now you can visit bookmaker.eu/GILL. That's bookmaker.eu/GILL To join and claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300, that's bookmaker.eu/gill, G-I-L-L. To join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300, you will not be disappointed. The best betting experience there is. Bookmaker.eu/gill.
Keep it right here for more of A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. It's A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
We're guessing lines. Week 12 in the National Football League. It is Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay playing hurt today, producer number 5. Jeff sounds like a frog. He's caught whatever Carlos started in this studio. Carlos, patient X, sitting in the corner, can't speak for himself. Can't defend himself, but he's vehemently opposed to this.
Denying. He is denying right now.
He's a petri.
Incorrectly kid. Denying. Sorry, CeeLo.
Wonder what he was doing to get all these germs in here. Tomorrow, college football, of course, with Pete Futak. We will talk about what he thinks the rankings 3.0 out of 6 will be at college football. Where do you think Bama drops to? Now, do you think Bama gets judged for Mac Jones' version? Because they had multiple big injuries in this game, right? So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Bama. In these rankings, where does Oregon and Utah jump up? Like, I mean, this will be fascinating to me.
By the way, the biggest college football play of the whole weekend was the kid on Minnesota missing the extra point.
Yeah, remember, he clanged one in earlier.
Missed the extra point to he did destroy every single Minnesota bettor with that kick miss.
Oh, the missed extra point at the end, which made it 23-19.
They made it 4 instead of 3.
Yeah. Baylor, both the undefeateds, Baylor and Minnesota, go down. Obviously, the 3 undefeateds at the top remain. But Baylor, wow, they fork it over to Oklahoma. Baylor up 28-3 and squander that. And Oklahoma comes back to torpedo Baylor's undefeated season. So Minnesota and Baylor losing heartbreakers over the weekend. We'll talk college football with Pete tomorrow. We'll talk three-man weave college basketball. You know how we roll the rest of the week. Later in the week, too, Sean Patrick Griffin. Do you know who that is, Jeff? He is the author of book Gaming the Game, which is the definitive look at the Tim Donaghy scandal. There's a Tim Donaghy movie that's out now, and he is outraged, and he wants to come on and tell people just what a sham the whole thing is. So we'll talk to him on the show later as well. Of course, all the usual characters, Bill Krakenberger, Todd Wishnev, and so on. Let's guess some more lines. Week 12, Chrissy Andrews is here. At Andrews Sports on Twitter. Chrissy, where'd we leave off, for goodness sake?
Okay, next up, Tampa Bay at your Super Bowl favorite, the Atlanta Falcons.
What do you make of the Falcons? The difference 2 weeks makes, right? I mean, like, they were 1-7, and all of a sudden, was the last 2 weeks, the Falcons have outscored their opponents, the Saints, and yesterday, the Panthers, who are, you know, no slouches, right? 55-12. 55-12. All of a sudden, the Falcons defense, nothing short of dominant, allowing just 4 field goals and no touchdowns. Yesterday against Carolina, they were +4 in turnovers, as we mentioned. Matt Ryan, 21-31, 311, 1 touchdown, no picks, sacked 3 times. Calvin Ridley, 8-143 and a touchdown. Tampa Bay, just doing Tampa Bay things yesterday against the New Orleans Saints. They lose, as we mentioned, 34-17. It's amazing how all these NFC South teams always happen sort of late in the season. They all start playing each other, and you forget who plays who 1 week from the next. But this one's Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Jameis Winston yesterday, I mean, this is just copy and paste this Jameis Winston box score. 30-51 for 313, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks, sacked 2 times. Bucks only had 36 rushing yards, but they were in catch-up mode. They were -4 versus New Orleans in turnovers, 4 turnovers. They were out time of possession by New Orleans, 37 minutes to 23 minutes. The Saints outgained the Bucks 195-11 while building an early 20-0 lead, controlled the ball for 20 of the game's first 25 minutes. Quote, this is Mike Evans. Quote, it's very frustrating. We've got the players. It's never been about the players since I've been here, said Mike Evans, closing in on his 6th 1,000-yard season. It's just we've been very, very inconsistent unquote. Yeah, I'll say. I think that's really not very being steeped in reality there. You're just not very good at football. I'll say Atlanta minus 4.5.
You're right on. It's 4 or 4.5. I'm opening 5. You know, Gil, I had Atlanta the last 2 weeks in, you know, the contests that I'm in. And I think we talked about this last week. You know, the sum of the parts for Atlanta, the sum of the parts was greater than the whole all season. Well, now finally, the sum of the parts is up to the whole. You know, they're really playing probably the way that they should have been playing all season.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they really played well. And then conversely, Tampa Bay, what am I looking at here? Yeah, they ran the ball. They had 8 carries yesterday for 36 yards. But 2 of those were Jameis Winston runs.
Right.
So running backs got 6 carries. I mean, and I know they fell behind early. And the one thing I always kind of notice when you, you know, even like, let's say, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, even when they were losing or trying to rally a team for a comeback, they never abandoned the run.
That's true.
And, you know, I like Bruce Arians a lot, but, you know, he's been really inconsistent with Tampa Bay. I'm sure part of it is the inconsistency of Jameis Winston. And when I say inconsistent, he's had some pretty darn good games. He's had some pretty awful games, including yesterday. But I would say, you know, I like Atlanta. I think they're playing some terrific ball. But I think this is what they should have been playing all year. I think they should have definitely been a playoff contender all year. I have no idea what happened to them. But right now, I think we're seeing a team that's finally putting it together. I'm going to open this one high. I like 5 better, and that's what I'm going
to
go with.
That Mike Evans quote just screams denial to me. Yeah, we're just inconsistent. No, you guys just aren't very good. Like, you can't. This is not inconsistent. Inconsistent means you know, you win as much as you lose, more or less. That's just not the case. But anyway, these are still early games here, Chris?
One more early game.
All right, what's that one?
Detroit at Washington.
Yes. Oh, another barn burner.
Yeah, another one I'm sure we would tune into without a bet.
Yes, I thought you said these games were getting good. Detroit's 3-6-1, Washington 1-9. Again, getting all that money yesterday for no God-blessed reason. Detroit has lost 6 of 7. They lose to Dallas yesterday. They lose by the score of 35-27. Jeff Driscoll comported himself pretty well here. 15 of 26 for 209, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 3 times. Also 51 yards on the ground, 8 carries and a touchdown. Detroit got killed by penalties, 11 for 89 in this game yesterday. And then there's the Redskins, who we already talked about. I already made the Nationals comparison. It's the worst 10-game start since 1961, fellow Redskin fans. They were 0-9-1 that year. Dwayne Haskins Jr., 19 of 35 for 214, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 6 times. The Redskins mustered only 225 total yards of offense against the Jets. Jets, by the way, that Jets-Redskins score is cosmetic. The fact that it ended up 34-17, those were 2 backdoor touchdowns. The Redskins were getting smoked in that game. What was it, 34-3 at one point?
34-3 before Geis made one of the more impressive touchdown runs off a screen I've seen in a while.
Well, at least they got that going for them. As I mentioned, Greg Minuski's job perhaps in jeopardy. I talked about the Nationals comparison, how they won 6 playoff games, a pennant, a World Series title, and had a parade in the time that the Redskins were having their 16 consecutive quarters without a touchdown. By the way, the 16 consecutive quarters without a touchdown is the longest streak of any team, longest streak of quarters without a touchdown since, ready for this, very strange stat, since the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. Do you know what that team did? They won the Super Bowl. So you're saying there's a chance. I'll say Detroit minus 3 on the road.
It's 3.5, which I have no beef with that. I'm going to open 3.5, see where they want to go. By the way, you know, time for a mea culpa on my part. I liked Haskins coming out of college. I thought that he was much better than Kyler Murray. Boy, was I wrong.
Ooh.
So I know we don't have Arizona. They're on bye this week, so I guess we won't talk about Kyler Murray till next week. I still have some serious questions about him. But nonetheless, he has proved to be way better than Haskins, who right now, and, you know, part of this is coaching, though. I really think you put this kid in the right environment with the right coach and organization and a solid team around him, and I think he would have a chance to become a good quarterback. But right now, he has none of that. And, I hate to see anybody's career just get wasted. And right now, I'm afraid that's what we might be seeing with this poor guy, you know. But nonetheless, I'm getting off track here. I'm going to open 3.5. I have no beef with that number. I think that's fine.
3.5. Okay. Jeff, you said you watched all of Dwayne Haskins yesterday, and your thoughts were what?
He couldn't catch a snap. Dropped 4 snaps yesterday.
Well, you know what that means? That just means he has 20 things on his mind.
The game is moving too quickly for him.
Yeah.
I think it's as simple as that. And it's not like the Jets' defense is a vaunted defense. I mean, they're okay, but they're not. They shouldn't be holding anyone to 3 points. I mean, Gil, they were handed the 3 points, too. It was Darnold threw a screen pass 20 yards too long on an interception that led to the first three. So. It was pretty ugly from your Washington Redskins, Gil.
What team? Redskins? Fans chanting sell the team again to Daniel Snyder yesterday. Let me just not bury the headline of what I just said in that whole synopsis. That's the longest streak of quarters without a touchdown, 16, since the 2000 Baltimore Ravens who won the Super Bowl. That's incredible. If we go back and think about, remember how Trent Dilfer, it was like one of these teams, one of the few teams in NFL history where they won a Super Bowl in spite of their quarterback, and that was really the stretch of the season that defined Dilfer. Wow, 16 quarters in a row for the 2000 Ravens, just like these 2019 Washington Redskins. That's amazing. Let's do one more here, Chris. Let's go to the afternoon.
Well, I'm going to tell you, one more lousy game, then we finish strong. So,
okay, good.
Okay, here's one more lousy game. Jacksonville at Tennessee.
Ah, the 4-6 Jaguars against the 5-5 Titans, who are both looking up at the Colts and the Texans in the AFC South. Jacksonville now has lost 4 of 6. Nick Foles, less than triumphant return to the Jaguars yesterday again in their 33-13 loss to the Colts. He was 33 of 47 for 296, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. First appearance again since the broken left collarbone knocked him out of the season opener. DJ Chark continues to be his best receiver, biggest target, 8 for 104, 2 touchdowns, or I should say the Jaguars' biggest receiving target this year. Again, the theme of yesterday, teams with anemic rushing totals. The Jaguars had 29 rushing yards yesterday. 29. And I get a lot of these teams fall behind, but to your point, Chris, you just never run again? 29 rushing yards, 8 penalties, 81 yards with the flags yesterday for the Jaguars. Tennessee coming off a bye. I'll say Tennessee -3.5 here at home.
Yeah, it's mostly 3. I see 3 with some juice on the favorite. I'm not sure I don't like your number better. You know, I don't see, let's say, like, okay, you're going to open 3. What's the next number? 3.5 or 2.5?
Right.
Well, there's no way this game's going to 2.5, I don't think.
No.
You know, but I think that has a chance of going to 3.5. But I am going to open 3. I am hoping not to play that 3.5 game, the 3.5 game, either way. But, you know, we'll get to Carson Wentz a little later. He actually has a pretty good game coming up. But I'm not sure Nick Foles would have been the answer either in Philadelphia. You know, he had a great run the year they won that Super Bowl and had a great Super Bowl game. But really, he's been a mediocre quarterback. And, you know, God bless him. He signed a monster contract, and I hear he's a good guy, so good for him to get that. But I'm not sure he's going to be any long-term answer for any team. And I think, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But, you know, I don't like the Tennessee quarterback situation either, but I do like Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to be a successful coach in this league. He needs to get his players around him, and I'm not sure he has that right now, but I think he will be a good coach. But Tennessee 3, but I can see this one going a little bit higher.
Okay. I don't know what I love yet. I'll have to review. Maybe I've forgotten one or two here. You promise the games will get better. The matchups will get better. From a fan standpoint, they're all bettable. We'll get to those coming back. Chris Andrews right here. Guessing lines. Week 12. It's a numbers game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
National Football League Week 12, that's what we're focused on here. A little tribute to the old Stardust show of the same ilk with Roxy Roxborough back in the day. Chris Andrews is with us before his journey to Los Angeles. You driving or are you flying today, Chris?
Oh, no, I'm not allowed to fly. I can't be in your studio, right?
Because right.
And so they won't let me go on an airplane with, 150, 200 people. No, they can't do it.
Makes sense. Now, you're actually driving one behind the wheel?
Yeah, you know me. Yeah.
That's my worst question of the day right there. What am I thinking? All right. What's the next one?
You know how obsessive I could be.
Yes, I do.
Of course, I'm the one doing the driving. Here,
Pam, take over the wheel. Things Chrissy has never said for 500, Alex. That's right. All right. What's next?
Okay, here's a pretty good one, Gil. Dallas at New England.
Oh, there's a game. Cowboys at New England. We mentioned Dallas beat the Lions yesterday by the score of 35-27. Lions hung around, but ultimately Dallas got it done. Dak Prescott was great yesterday. 29 of 46 for 444. Three touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. A career-high 274 yards passing in the first half. His big targets, Gallup, 9 for 148. Randall Cobb, 4 for 115 in the touchdown. Zeke did his thing, 16 carries for 45 yards. Not a lot on the ground, though he did have a touchdown on the ground, but two catches, 28 with another touchdown. So he scored twice. 8 of 14 on third downs. Cowboys racked up 509 total yards of offense yesterday. And then there's New England with their 19th straight winning season, clinching their 19th straight winning season. My goodness, the record is 20. Tom Brady, who, can we say that we're seeing the first sign of age of Tom Brady this year? Maybe. Is that allowed? Tom Brady,
definitely.
Yeah, 26 of 47 for 216, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked once. Julian Edelman actually threw their go-ahead 15-yard touchdown pass to Philip Dorsett. New England beats Philly 17-10. They come from a 10-0 deficit to win that game. First time in Brady's career that another player on his team had more touchdown passes than he did when he played the entire game. Patriots didn't cross midfield until Brady connected with Benjamin Watson for 22 yards to the Eagles 31 near the midpoint of the second quarter. The game really shifted when Lane Johnson went out of the game with an injury for the Eagles. That's when things changed. Again, it was 10-0 Eagles. Final score, Patriots 17, Eagles 10. I will say that the Patriots, I'll put it in no man's land. I'll say Patriots minus 5.5.
I do see 1.5.5.
Ooh.
I see it as high as 6.5.
Cagey pick on my part.
Yeah, I like the 6.5 here, Gil. And I tell you why. And I didn't have a chance to go through this when I was putting together my notes for this morning. I think Dak Prescott, if we go back and look, and maybe Jeff could throw something in here, but when he has played bad teams, he has done really, really well. Bad defenses, I'm talking about. This is not a bad defense he's going against this week.
No.
This is a really good defense. And they don't light up the scoreboard, light up the board with a bunch of those stats defensively. They just don't let you score. And I think Dallas is going to have a lot of trouble putting points on the board here against this New England team. And, New England, not always a great cover team, is a big favorite. And this kind of getting to that point there. But I think this is a team that will continue to get better as the year goes on. I do think we are seeing signs of aging in Brady, no question about it. But I do think New England will probably, they're probably just hitting their peak, which is kind of weird because as good as they've been, they played some lousy teams. And even though their record's fantastic, I don't think they've played particularly great football. But I do think they're going to start to play better a little bit more so down the stretch here. I like them in this spot. And when I was looking at my numbers early this morning, like I said, I didn't have a chance to do quite the research I wanted to. But I think when I do get off the show, I'm going to go back and look at it. And I think what I said is true. And this is one of the games I like. I like New England here. I think they handle Dallas pretty easily.
6.5 from you then. So that's what you're hanging today. I do this fantasy show, Dave Farah and Matt Brown, who both are VEASAN guys. We do something for Access TV. It's a fantasy show that we do. And we had Jordan Palmer on the first week that we did it. Yesterday, Marcel Reese of the Raiders, formerly of the Raiders, was on. He's retired now. Great guy. And he was talking about how when they would play Belichick, the few times they would play him, he got the Belichick treatment before the game. Odell Beckham Jr. tells the same kinds of stories where Belichick would mosey on up to Marcel and he would say, "Yeah, you're not going to get too many today." You know, and Marcel would be like, "Wait a minute, I'm averaging 6 or 7 catches a game. What do you mean?" And sure enough, he goes, "You probably get one catch. And by the way, Darius Hayward Bay will get about 13. And he's like, "What are you talking about? He doesn't catch anything." And sure enough, that's exactly what would happen. Because as Michael Lombardi likes to say, Belichick's playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. And, you know, Zach Ertz had a pretty good game yesterday, so maybe yesterday wasn't the best example. But the Eagles were shorthanded, right? They didn't have Alshon Jeffrey. They didn't have DeSean Jackson. God, they barely had DeSean this year. They didn't have Jordan Howard. So they were shorthanded. And so, you know, Belichick figures it out, right? Even though the Eagles take the lead, you see Belichick, he puts the pen cap in his mouth. He jots down some notes. He's a genius. And there's no reason to think that in a battle of wits with Jason Garrett, let's be honest here, and Kellen Moore, that Bill Belichick is not going to smoke him. I really believe that. You know, it gets down to that. If there's only one tool to your handicap in the NFL, let it be coaching. And that's a big coaching mismatch right there. So you're putting up 6.5. I guessed 5.5 on that. You're probably right. Probably a better number. Let's do one more here.
The Dallas coach went to Princeton. The New England coach went to, I think, John Carroll.
Yeah.
The John Carroll guy is way smarter, is all I can tell you.
Yes, in this particular realm, he is. We're not at the primetime games yet, are we? We have one more, right?
You know what? We do have a primetime game. Then a game got flipped to the morning, which originally the Sunday night game got flipped to the morning.
This is the one you were talking about, Jeff. So what got
Sunday
flipped
night
to the
game next.
Yeah. What's the morning game? Let's do that one.
The one to do the morning game first?
Okay. Yeah.
Seattle at Philadelphia.
That's a good game to get flexed out right there.
Good game, yeah. Told you we're going to finish strong here, Gilly.
Yeah, these are good. Seattle coming off the bye. They're 8-2. Coming off the bye, or they have an early game this week? Oh, yeah, they're coming off the bye. That's right. When we last saw them, they were playing Monday night against the Niners in that amazing win where Kyle Shanahan decided, we don't accept your tie. Here, take this game from us in overtime with a 3 straight incompletions from Garoppolo there late in OT. We mentioned Philly yesterday. Carson Wentz in defeat against the Patriots, 20 of 40 for 214, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked 5 times. Zach Ertz did get his numbers, 9 for 94, but the Eagles were 3 of 13 on third downs. They only had 255 total yards of offense. And as I said, no DeSean Jackson, no Alshon Jeffrey, no Jordan Howard. They were all sidelined by injuries. And again, the key, all pro right tackle, Lane Johnson. He left with a head injury in the first half when the Eagles were up 10-0. Game kind of flipped right there. I will guess the Eagles will be favored here, but not by the full field goal. I will say 2.5 in favor of the Eagles.
Yeah, I see 2 and 2.5, Gilly. I like 2 a little better. It, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs here. My first impression is I think Carson Wentz has kind of regressed, and that might be true. But I think there's a lot of stuff around them that has caused them to regress. You know, you mentioned Johnson, the lineman. I don't think his receivers have been terrible this year. And, you know, some of that falls on Wentz, but I think a lot of it falls on him. I think I saw somewhere Miles Sanders, the running back, has the largest yards per reception of any player on that team.
That says everything.
And that tells you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that there's just no speed on this team. I mentioned earlier, I think he's missing Frank Wright, who's now the head coach at Indianapolis, who was the quarterback coach when he got the most out of Carson Wentz and got a lot out of Nick Foles, too. So I think all that is kind of playing against Carson Wentz right now. I'm not giving up on the kid by any means because I do think he has a lot of talent, but around him, not so much. Conversely, on Seattle, I mean, Russell Wilson just makes this team a winner. He's been doing it for what, like 9 years now or whatever. So I like 2 a little better than 2.5. I don't have any beef with the number either way. I think it's going to be a really good game, and that is a 10 o'clock game.
10 o'clock, early morning game, Seattle at Philadelphia. Seattle did the old crossing the country for the early East Coast game. You're right, Bob. Seattle with Russell Wilson on one side. If Jadeveon Clowney could do what he did against the Niners, those two guys alone will erase a lot of the warts elsewhere on that team. So 8-2 Seahawks, who are in playoff position, against the Eagles, 5-5, who currently are the outside looking in the NFC East. We'll do the primetime games, and then we'll recap what we like. It's going to be tough to come up with five out of these for contest.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It is Gil Alexander. Thank you, Ron Flatter. Flatter had me on the Green Zone yesterday, Jeffrey. That was fun to talk about college football opening lines that Matt Linneman and Matt Metcalf put out. So we do that on Sundays. Nice of Greg Peterson to ask me on there. Good job by Linneman and Metcalf, by the way. Have really done a number here doing that. South Point, of course, originating lines on many things through the years. Maybe not this year because Chrissy was not well health-wise, but generally speaking. So for those who say Vegas doesn't originate, there are exceptions to that rule. Let us bring in Chrissy Andrews back on the show. Chris is on his way to L.A. today, but kind enough to join us here before he hangs all these numbers for Week 12. They're not up on the board yet here behind me at the South Point, but he will right after this as we talk them through. Let's go to Sunday night, Chrissy.
Yeah, an organ transplant will tend to knock you out for a little bit.
Yes. Just a little something.
I'm joking. Yeah. I guess consider an organ transplant. I feel much better. So. Anyway, the Sunday night game, really good one. Green Bay at San Francisco.
Ooh, I likes. Green Bay coming off a bye. Green Bay 8-2. San Francisco 9-1 by virtue of their flurry late yesterday against the Arizona Cardinals. Jimmy Garoppolo, 25-yard touchdown pass to Jeff Wilson Jr. with 31 seconds left. Fourth touchdown pass of the game. Niners rally. 36-26 win over the Cardinals. Why 36-26 again from the top of the show? Because San Francisco adding a fumble recovery for a touchdown by DJ Reed on the final play after a botched lateral by Arizona. No review. Jeff, would you like to say what you said on text?
Your point.
They had no extra point, exactly.
Yes, I Todd and I both thought the quote-unquote fatso offensive lineman was down when he threw it 9 miles into the air.
He said the text I get. Fatso was down by contact is what Jeff said on text. But they didn't review it, the touchdown count, and then there's no extra point on top of that. So it had all kinds of implications both ways. But again, look, NFL, gambling's legalized. You have to review everything. Just because the game is over and then just you have to do this now. Everything should be by the book. Jimmy Garoppolo, 34 of 45 yesterday for 424, four touchdowns, two picks, was sacked twice. The two interceptions, though, it should be stated, were deep in Arizona territory. That nearly did doom the Niners yesterday, though on that last drive, 6 of 7 for 58 on the game-winning drive. That right there is a microcosm of his season. Some games you're like, I don't know about this dude. Other games you're like, oh yeah, he's the real deal. And then in this game, there was all of that wrapped up in 60 minutes. Two touchdown passes, by the way, to backup tight end Ross Dwelly. George Kittle didn't play. The Cardinals continue to be horrific against opposing tight ends. That's a fantasy note, everybody. Deebo Samuel, 8 catches, 134. Good for Deebo. They outgained Arizona 442 to 266 in a game they trailed 16-0. And then in our theme of the day, how many rushing yards did the Niners have? 34 total rushing yards. Again, Chrissy, to your point, I get it. You're trailing. You're passing. But no runs? 34. 10 penalties also for 127 for the Niners in victory. All that said, I'll just say that to me, this is the easiest line. This has to be 3, right? Niners minus 3.
Exactly. That's what it is. I mean, what else could it possibly be?
Yeah.
A couple of things I do want to throw in, though, kind of funny. You know, when the Niners scored that touchdown, then no extra point. I had guys tweeting at me, Vegas must have called that one in.
Of course you did. You got right on the horn.
Vegas guy. Yeah. But I got to meet this Vegas guy one of these days. Only been around for 40 years. I have yet to meet that guy.
Vegas called it in. I love that.
Vegas must have called that one in. They love the conspiracy theory. They just love it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't take responsibility for your own. You know, I don't want to say it's bad handicap. I mean, it's not bad handicap. It's just, you know, crazy stuff happens in sports. One more thing I do want to add, though. I like Green Bay in this game. I think I'm starting to have my doubts about San Francisco. And I think, you know, Jimmy G, yeah, ups and downs, no doubt about it. Kind of can say the same thing about Rodgers this year. He's had some really good games, some really not-so-good games. But I do like Green Bay in this spot. We talked about the home field advantage. It's probably been a little more, 2 weeks ago it certainly was. Levi Stadium, I mean, is that a big home field advantage?
No.
I'm not so sure.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, so I think three, I think that's the number, but I also think it's a little steep. I think I'm going to, I like Green Bay plus the three in this spot.
All right. Sunday night game. What's Monday night?
Monday night, another pretty good one. Baltimore at the Rams.
Ooh, I like that matchup. Baltimore is 8-2. We talked about it. They not only beat the Houston Texans yesterday, they rout them in what, looked, at least on paper, to be the game of the day. They go up 34-0. They win it 41-7, do the Ravens. It's their sixth straight win from 2-2 to 8-2. Longest winning streak since a seven-game run back in 2000, their first Super Bowl winning season. There's two 2000 Ravens references, one to the bad, one to the good. Lamar Jackson, we do it every week. 17-24 for 222, four touchdown passes, no picks, sacked only once. On the ground, 9 carries for 86 yards. For the season, 19 touchdown passes, 5 picks, and 788 yards rushing. By the way, Robert Griffin III, 2 for 2 for 15 yards. Just want to point that out. Never forget, Chrissy. Never forget.
Now every time I look at your Twitter page, I see it.
So I still have that up in the background. Gus Edwards, 8 carries, 112 yards, a touchdown. Ravens were 5 of 9 on third downs. Can we flash up that Lamar Jackson tweet? This is a tweet sent out, which is about Lamar Jackson, but also about Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott. It's from Dane Brugler. Dane Brugler, I hope I'm pronouncing that okay. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott. That's the top three in the MVP race for many right now, in whatever order you want, he points out. None of the three were the first player drafted by their own team in their class. A combined 16 quarterbacks were drafted ahead of them. 5 now out of the NFL. And as I would like to add to this tweet, if I could only put my finger on something else that puts these three guys in common thread with them.
But I mean, who were the guys that looked at Lamar Jackson saying, yeah, he can't play in the NFL? I mean, Russell Wilson, I honestly do understand. I mean, the guy was small. You know, since then, the game has kind of changed. And I sing his praises all the time. He's great. But I can kind of see where they had their doubts about him. But Lamar Jackson, what was he, the last player picked in the first round?
Yeah, when he had the Darnolds and the Rosens of the world picked before him. It's less about looking at it from those guys' angle, from the Jackson, Prescott, and Wilson angle. Because you're right, everybody had common doubts, right? There were knocks on all of them. But if you look at it the other way, I think that's, to me, where the smoking gun is. The canonization, right? The canonizing of those other guys. Like, they were, we've got to get this interception machine, Sam Darnold. For God's sakes, we've got to draft him, right? And then, you know, as soon as he has a good game in the pros, this is why we drafted him. Josh Rosen, right, for all of his, does he even want to play football? The fact that these teams go crazy. I said it on my podcast, and it's sort of the third rail, but it's like if DeSean Jackson, and I'll say this on this show, what I said on the Megapod, if DeSean Jackson, let's just say, was a white quarterback who won the national championship in front of everybody at Clemson, beating the vaunted Alabama defense, okay, that's one thing. But you think if there was an African-American quarterback who had only 13 starts at North Carolina, that some other team would have moved the world, moved mountains to draft him number two? Everybody stop with that. That's the smoking gun to me. So anyway, just my opinion.
It's funny. I was thinking about, I don't want to get too political, racial, or anything. But I was laughing at because I was thinking about it last night. But the three best quarterbacks are all black, and the best running back is white.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey. Let's just judge each guy for what he is,
Rams, by the way, in this game, They've won 10 coin tosses in a row. How's that for a stat for you, Jeffrey? The Rams have won 10 coin tosses in a row. There's your meaningless stat of the night. Jared Goff, 11 of 18 for 173. No touchdowns, one pick. Not sacked at all. Career lows for Jared Goff in completions and attempts, 11 and 18. Todd Gurley yesterday, and this was the story of this game last night between the Rams and the Bears. Rams winning it again, 17 to 7. And Chris Collinsworth did a great job pointing this out yesterday. 25 carries for Gurley, 97 yards and a touchdown. Also caught three balls for 36, 133 scrimmage yards for Gurley. He was told by Sean McVay before the game last night he was going to be a focal point of their offense. And in fact, that's exactly what the Rams did. They ran it on 65.4% of its plays yesterday, 34 of 52 plays. It's the highest run percentage in McVay's three seasons as coach, and only the fourth time they've gone to the ground more than 60% of the time. A Todd Gurley sighting in a big way yesterday. David Edwards, Bobby Evans on the right side of that line, as Chris Collinsworth pointed out many times in that game yesterday, they could be a big revelation for the Rams. Gurley came in averaging 53.5 rushing yards per game, had 63 in the first half alone. All that said, this is Lamar Jackson, the dynamo that he is. I'll say it's Baltimore minus 3.5 on the road.
It's 3.5. I see some with 3.5 with juice on the dog. I like 3.5 flat here. I wouldn't be surprised if this one goes up a little bit. One of the themes of the day for me is talking about offensive lines. And the Rams' offensive line, they ran the ball extremely well. Goff was not sacked last night. All that being said, they only put 17 points on the board.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot, actually. I certainly have my questions about this team. But this is another one where the sum of the parts should be, the whole should be at least up to the sum of the parts, and it's not. And what the problem is, I honestly can't tell you. But Baltimore, the exact opposite. You know, I've been singing the praises of John Harbaugh's, Gil, what have we done this show, 8, 9 years, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I've been saying that for all these years. I think he's a terrific coach. And I hate saying that because Baltimore's in the division with the Steelers. That's our big rival. But he is just terrific. And what he's done with Jackson, I think, speaks volumes to that. I like 3.5, but if this goes higher, I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm not sure that's not the right side. So 3.5 is what it is. But I'm not saying I like Baltimore. I hate laying 3.5 on the road in a situation like this. But gun to my head, I'd probably land.
It's very difficult to bet against Baltimore, period, at this point, with Lamar Jackson. Like, that's how good he is at this juncture in his career, just, in his second year. Adam Schefter posted something on his Twitter feed which compared Lamar Jackson's numbers, which are MVP caliber, of course, last 16 games, so it extends back into last season, with Tyrod Taylor's season a couple years ago when he went 16 games. And he was saying how comparable it was, but it really did by the numbers in terms of the passing numbers was very comparable. And it was sort of a really more of a statement towards Tyrod Taylor, and perhaps he should be getting some play in Los Angeles more than it was about Lamar Jackson. But of course, what it left out was all of Lamar Jackson's amazing rushing stats, which just puts him way over the top in a different stratosphere. I think I like Baltimore at that number. So it is minus 3.5 for you? Is that what you said you're putting up?
It's 3.5, yeah. And I see some 3.5, even money on the favorite, or even one outfit plus money on the favorite. I think that's in error. Let me say that.
All right. Arizona, Minnesota, KC, and the Chargers after tonight's game, they will be on bye. Of course, again, KC 5-point favorites tonight, or 4.5, somewhere in that pocket right now. That is up tonight's game in Mexico City. We'll come back. We'll review what we like week 12. Coming back with Chrissy right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Yeah, so going through these, boy, I hate to sound really, I don't know if chalky is the right word, but just to go with like the best teams in the league, but the games that I really like. Baltimore, I think on Monday night, giving just 3.5 against the Rams. Like we talked about, Chrissy, I mean, as bad as the Bears were, I don't think the Rams were that much better, even though they did shift to a run-first offense, as we documented. What do you do against Lamar Jackson? Aaron Donald up against Lamar Jackson. What a matchup. But I like the Baltimore there, giving the 3.5. And I like New England, I think, if it's only, what did you say it was, 6.5?
I'm going to use 6.5. I think there are some sixes. Let me see if that's still around. Yeah, there's some sixes. There's a couple sixes around. Not many. You'd have to jump in pretty quick, I think.
By the way, a text from Chris Felica, friend of show, friend of network, of the Bear at ESPN's College Game Day, Daily Wager, and, of course, the Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast. He asks, if Chrissy likes your number so much, why doesn't he gets that it would be off market? Why doesn't he sometimes just post that number then?
Well, it's a good question. We do have some big play here at South Point, and what I'd like to see is the market, and let's see what happens with it. And we certainly have our opinions, you know, probably more so than I should. But I also don't want to make them bet something this early in the week. You know, let's see where it goes. Because ideally, you want the best, you want the most action at the most advantageous number to the sports book. In other words, if everybody, let's say you made a game 6 and it's 7 everywhere. Well, you want to open 6, you can open 6.5 and get the same amount of bets. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you just open 6.5? And, you know, and like I said, you're still taking a stand, having an opinion, but at a, in a more advantageous position. So,
yeah, you're both an odds maker and a bookmaker, and so you have to consider all things.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Baltimore.
By the way,
go ahead.
I was going to say I do have one amendment to my opening numbers. Pittsburgh now has gone to mostly 7 with some juice on the dog. I'm going to open 7 instead of 6.5. I like the 7 better.
Wow. Jeez. Yeah, I'm not. Let's put it this way. Even as I say, wow, it's not like I'm running. I have one leg. It's not like I'm hopping over to the book to bet Bengals. That's for sure. Even hearing that information. Baltimore.
You're going to get trampled by Bengals bettors rushing to the counter.
That's right.
That would be a horrible way to die, wouldn't it, Gil?
There goes Gil, trampled by Bengals bettors. Baltimore, New England, and I guess I know it didn't get there yesterday, but they did the 5 weeks before that. I think the Miami Dolphins, if you're telling me that's 10 and a hook, did you say?
Yeah.
With Cleveland,
yeah.
I guess Miami, though that's not never fun. But those are my three anyway, off the top. How about you?
I got my three. I like the Bills. I think they crush the Broncos. I like New England. Again, boy, chalk, chalk, chalk. I like New England over Dallas. And I like Green Bay plus a 3 over San Francisco.
You are not buying the Niners.
Not in this spot. Not in this spot. I'm, you know, I 3 has to be the number. I understand that, but I'm not sure they deserve to be a full 3 over Green Bay.
What's your biggest? Do you have big liability on any team in the NFL, Chris, for either conference or Super Bowl?
Right, it's not huge, but New Orleans to win the NFC. You know, it's not terrible. It's not particularly good. Cleveland, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sweating that one too much. They'll probably win their last 6 in a row or whatever and get there. Buffalo a little bit for the conference. I'm a little worried about that because, like I said, they beat some bad teams. There's a lot of bad teams in this league. Two of them in their division. So those are probably two that jump out at me right away. I'd have to look a little more closely, but nothing that I'm really sweating all that much.
And let me just ask you, if you had to, and we'll do this around the horn here to close it. Jeff, if you had to give me a Super Bowl right now, who do you think is in the Super Bowl?
Todd and I were actually discussing this yesterday. But if you're going right now, I would go with New England still in the AFC. I think in a rematch with Baltimore, they would get it done. And then in the NFC, it's really difficult, but I'd lean New Orleans. I think that game against Atlanta last week was an aberration. They're more like the team we saw at the beginning of the year and with this past week against Tampa. So New England, New Orleans.
Who would you want to see?
Who would I want to see?
Yeah.
Not New England. I know that. I'd love to see Baltimore play Seattle in the Super Bowl.
That's exactly who I'd want to see. Baltimore versus Seattle. I would love to see that. As it is now, I think Baltimore, New Orleans sounds about right. I have a feeling that, you know, all this thought that we have that, oh, New England will figure it out the second time around. I know it'll go different against Baltimore for sure. But I don't know. Sometimes one person's just sheer will and athleticism and talent could take them over the top. Obviously, a long way to go between now and then. Chris, we close with you. Same thing. Who do you think? Who would you want to see?
Who would I think? I think it's going to be Baltimore and New Orleans if I had to pick right now. I think that's the two best teams. Yeah. You know, crazy things happen, of course. Who would I want to see? Oh, I don't know, Pittsburgh and maybe, Tampa Bay, something like that.
I'd like to see the Redskins. That's right.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a Redskins-Jets rematch.
How's that?
Yeah. Can we make the Redskins-Jets rematch happen? Thank you, Chrissy. Appreciate it. Safe travels to L.A. today, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Follow Chris on Twitter at Andrew Sports. Again, the name of the book. Then One Day, available where all books are sold, including, of course, at Amazon. Jeff Parlay, get better. Good luck with Market Watch today. Under the weather, Market Watch 4 to 6 Pacific, 7 to 9 Eastern. Carlos, Patient X, appreciate everybody listening. Good luck tonight in Mexico City.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.